السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه، وجزيل نعمائه، وعلو صفاته وأسمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبعوث منارا ورحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم يا رب. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. And thus we see that through ilm, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to this realization, this most powerful statement in the Quran about the relationship between the abd and the ma'bud, between the abd and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus in our deen, العلم والعبودية، العلم والعبادة لا ينفصمان. That علم and عبادة never separate, and that they are one sometimes and the other, and that one will generate the other as well. For more عبودية will generate more علم, as we shall continue to see and learn inshaAllah ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is related to have said, pertaining to this ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, is related to have said in one of the narrations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends by this ayah to tell us that He created jinns and humans in order that they know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order that they know Him. And certainly, as we are gradually establishing, or as we have established perhaps for some of you, that through ilm, when there is ilm of the af'al and of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that leads certainly to His mahabba subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will lead to His ubudiyya subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore to know Him is automatically to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this realization in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then be ultimately will ultimately lead to that which I would say all ilm elucidates or intends to elucidate, and that is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ultimately in this relationship, as I realize it, then ultimately the ilm, ultimately العلم النافع, and the ultimate goal of ilm is the realization of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the affirmation of that inside of me and in my life. And therefore, I think when Imam Ahmad was asked rahimahullah ta'ala, someone asked him, one of his companions or students, about a man who subhanAllah had a lot of ma'rifah. And by the way, sometimes in certain contexts, ilm is different than ma'rifah. And the word ma'rifah implies the one who has known Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not here, but here. The one who has known Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only through the external ilm, which is necessary and mandatory, but now is familiar, is intimate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he asked Imam Ahmad, because he was very well known, that other person, for his devotion, for his zuhud, and so on and so forth, But he asked Al-Imam Ahmad, what about his ilm? Because it was serious. Sometimes some people who do not have the proper ilm have also committed very serious mistakes in the name of devotion. But in this case, when he asked Al-Imam Ahmad, and then what is his extent of ilm? Just maybe to be careful. Or sometimes, who knows, maybe out of envy. Then he replied to him, rahimahullah ta'ala, kafa bi khashyatihi lillahi ilma. أظن في ما أذكر كفى بخشيته لله وبزهده في الدنيا علما. It suffices you to know his ilm, his khashya for Allah and his zuhd in dunya. You want to know how much ilm he has? Look us. Don't you see his khashya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you see his zuhd for his dunya? And Imam Ahmad, who had plenty of ilm, and Allah gave him zuhd as well, he didn't say, yeah, he doesn't have much of ilm. That is the information and the data, as much as Imam Ahmad, or as much as Ibn Uyayna, rahmahullah ta'ala, or the likes in that category. He pointed out to him, kafa bi khashyatihi lillahi wa zuhdihi fi dunya ilma. Suffices for you as a proof of his ilm, as an evidence of his ilm, his khashya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his zuhd in dunya, said he to him, rahimahullah ta'ala. So when the ultimate goal of ilm is again to emphasize and to magnify and to clear the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that no one, nothing is left in the qalb but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ilm comes to elucidate that, at least at the theoretical level. When it is explained at the theoretical level, at the mental level, reasonably we can see that. And then when one takes it on and lives it, and then would by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attain that state of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we speak of tawheed, of course, in so many ways. When it comes to certain details, tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah, wa tawheed al-asma'i al-sifat. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, the tawheed of lordship, comes from the realization through that ilm of the difference and the distinction between the creator and the creature. There is a creator and there is a creature. The realization of the difference between the two. That I'm not a khaliq, I'm a makhluq. That I'm not a raziq, I'm a marzuq. That I'm not a shari', I'm a mukallaf. I'm not a lawgiver, I'm a subject. I'm not a creator, I'm a creature. I'm not the provider, I'm the provided for. I'm not the all-knower. I'm not the all-knower. I'm not the one who is absolutely free and independent. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free and independent. There is no one absolutely free and independent. I am dependent, and everything is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I begin to realize that and see that in the creation. One of them had said, subhanallah, I looked at life and I saw very, very intelligent people and very capable people, very poor. And I saw very, forgive me, very dumb people, very rich. In some instances, he said, then, this is his logic, then I realized that rizq has nothing to do with your abilities and your control. And rizq has nothing to do with your abilities and your control. That's al-iqraru bil-rububiyyah. That's iqraru bil-rububiyyah. That's affirmation of rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when I realize that there is nothing, when I realize that, mashallah, that's haqiqatu min haqa'iq al-tawheed wal-iman, I realize that no atom, physical atom, and I'm going to borrow the term and invent a figurative one, and no emotional atom, and no spiritual atom moves or is still without the will and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The burst of your qalb right now, and everyone's qalb in the world, everyone's heart in the world, what you experience at this moment and what everyone in the world is experiencing at this moment, that insight, that emotion of the qalb does not occur without the knowledge and the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your qalb and the qulub of others towards others and towards you. As says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ قُلُوبَ بَنِي آدَمَ كُلَّهَا بَيْنَ أُصْبُعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ يُصَرِّفُهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all the hearts of the human beings, of the children of Adam, are between, and Allah be exalted from analogies and anthropomorphic tendencies, are between two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like one heart. He moves them all as He pleases. My dear brothers and sisters, not only the physical atoms move and are still with His knowledge and with His will, but the atoms of emotions, the atoms of feelings, the atoms of thoughts, nothing occurs without His will and His knowledge. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And when I realize that, then I am in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is one of the major, if not the major source of peace of heart. Peace of qalb. And sweetness and the taste with your qalb of sweetness of ibadah and of iman. Please note, one of the key treasures to attaining halawa, sweetness in ibadah, as a consequence of sweetness in iman, as a consequence of haqiqatul iman, is this. The internalization and the interiorization inside of us of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. لِذَلِكَ صَحَى عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ In addition to إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةً وَمَا بَلَغَ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ وَمَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه أيضا قال وَمَا ذَاقَ in the advice that the companion was given to his son, that he learned from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَا بُنَيْ لَن تَجِدَ اِعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَن تَجِدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطَأَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. الحديث سمعت ذلك من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, which says basically that we will not attain the sweetness, and sweetness is a result of peace inside, of comfort, of security, of deep anchorage. We will not attain that until we fully realize and interiorize, know, that's what it means, fully realize and interiorize that there is nothing that befalls me that was meant to miss me. Physical, emotional or otherwise, by me or by others, or a leaf that falls and lands on my hand, on my head or my hand, nothing that befalls me was meant to miss me, and nothing that missed me was meant to befall me or touch me. Unless we have that full realization interiorized, not intellectualized only. Unless we have that, we shall continue to be deficient in our tawheed, that is to say, and consequently be insecure and restless and agitated and afraid and غير ثابت, inconsistent. توحيد الربوبية, توحيد الربوبية. I realize that there is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala without whom nothing moves and nothing is still. And the tawheed of uluhiyya is to realize after this rububiyya, tawheed al-rububiyya, or concurrently or in parallel to that, I realize that this Rabb indeed is to be automatically the ma'bud. Ma'bud, in other words, he deserves of my ibadah to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. My tawheed al-rububiyya is a realization, is an acknowledgement of mine. And Allah is Rabb, whether I like it or I don't. Whether the human beings and jinns acknowledge that or not. He is Rabb. He never asked you or me whether we want it to be or not to be. He never asked the atoms of the universe whether they want it to be or not to be. What do you think? Let's have mashura. Ta'ala Allah an dhalik. The world is here without the world having anything to do with that. Whether the world acknowledges that or not, immaterial. He is Rabb, regardless of the conscious acknowledgement of the creatures. Regardless of the conscious acknowledgement of the creatures, he is Rabb. But uluhiyya, to be ma'bud, must come as an act of choice by us. He is ma'bud because there is abd who performs that ibadah. Right? And therefore there are the angels. They are created only for that. They're always in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their delight and their happiness is exactly in ibadah. So tawheed al-ubudiyya is that when I am in ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal, in worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, in servitude of Allah Azza wa Jal, in conformity of all my intents and objectives to His intent and His objective at every instant in my life. When the intents and objectives of mine at any instant are in conformity to what he intends subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why al-ibadah, they say, lafzun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa ardahu min aqwalin wa a'malin batinatin wa zahira. That's why ibadah is an all comprehensive term that encompasses all that which is pleasing to and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of spoken words and of acts of the qalb and of the external senses. The acts of the qalb that are the derivatives of the motion of the qalb, of the will of the qalb, which is love and fear and hope and so on and so forth, and longing and so on, etc., including some that are negative as acts of the qalb. When those acts of the qalb, when those bursts inside of us, when those thoughts, let's say, inside of us that we entertain are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make sure that they are, then those are acts of the qalb that Allah loves, and that's an act of ibadah. The struggle inside of your qalb, the struggle inside of you to shun away that which is evil, that which is ugly, a thought entertained inside that is ugly, and another burst inside of me of thought or of the qalb to counter that, that's an act of ibadah. And similarly, an act that is of the qalb, that is, that entertains, let's say, negative or evil feelings without externalizing them, that are entertained, that's an evil act of the qalb. That's a ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If inside of me I entertain bursts, feelings, emotions, thoughts that are evil, that are wrong, let's say, ridiculing someone, belittling someone, feeling inside, entertaining inside a feeling of ostentation, of riya, though I do not, let's say, externalize it, that is an act of the qalb that is evil, that is not ibadah. Because let us know that when the ulama say that if it is not externalized, it is okay, they mean by that which you have inside and you deny and you don't externalize it. But if you have it, if I have it inside and I entertain it and I do not externalize it, looking at this brother and I think, well, there's nothing inside, and I don't tell him, you're nothing, and that burst comes inside and I feel it relaxes me. I fanned out my internally, I fanned out my grievances. That's a ma'asiyah. That's a ma'asiyah. And thus Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those acts of the qulub that are in his ta'ah. وَالْعِبَادَةُ لَفْضٌ جَامِعٌ لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرْضَهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. And the acts that are external, by the external limbs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. And when I do that, my focus being Allah, because Allah is pleased with that, because Allah loves that, that's an act of ibadah. If I do that because my nafs loves it, and I say, I love it. I, what is I? And we said recently that there is, most of the time, there's the nafs, and we shall talk more about that as we begin to distinguish between the qalb and the nafs. Sometimes I do things that my nafs likes, not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. That's not an act of ibadah. It may be just not punishable, because it would turn into an act of ada, not ibadah. An act that is basically the result of habits. And I do things by habits, not by conscious inner burst and motivation for what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus my ibadah, if I perform my ibadah, and my ibadah is maybe sometimes it happens, and there are many forms of ibadah, including da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I do that because my tab'a likes it, it just happens to be consistent with what my nafs likes. And then if I'm asked to wake up for fajr, I find it so hard and so difficult in that same process of da'wah. Da'wah is not fard. Is not fardu ayn. It's fardu kifaya. Salatul fajr is fardu ayn. And I'm this very intense, active person, yet I don't find the energy to wake up for salatul fajr. But I happen to do those things. This is one way we realize that. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. And I do not absolve myself, and forgive me, and I'm not trying to diminish from the value of anyone. I'm the first sinner. That's indicative to me that what I did, what I've been doing, has not been ubudiyah. It's not been ibadah. Maybe just an act of adah. That's the way it is. And if I'm asked to do something that is mandatorily as farba'in, I find it so hard. One of the salihun, I forgot his name, subhanAllah, came to mind. He performed Hajj, I think, many, many, many times, 20 times or 40 times, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala. And they have some of those salihun. In other words, he performed Hajj, and the term he used implies ala tawakkul, which also implies that I went through that trip and I used to walk very far distances, a month and 2 weeks. Every one of those hajjah, he walked without taking any provision. At that level, okay. Simply, fully rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happens to him, it happens. Listen to what he said. I performed, he said, 20 or something or 40 hajjat that way. And I realized one day, now at his level, please understand, the haqiqa of tawakkul. He said, I realized that was all for my nafs. You know how he realized that? He said, one day my mother, this righteous man, and his elder mother, he was reclining or resting or so, and his mother called him to bring her wadu, that is the container and the water, for her wudu, her wadu. And then he said, I felt so heavy inside. So heavy inside. You got it? He said, then I realized that all my hajjat were for my nafs. Because if they were not, my going that way to hajj, and though so many times, ala at-tawakkul in that way, is not fardu'ain. Is not farida on me. But responding to the call of my mother at that moment is farida on me. And yet I found it a bit heavy. Fardu ayn wa fardu kifayah. Ubudiyya. Taban, please realize, hafizakum Allah, these are things we aspire to and we must if we are seekers to Allah Azza wa Jal. كَانَ لَا شَكِ تَكَلَّمُ عَنْ وَعَلَى حَقِيقَةِ التَّوَكُّلِ. Salih, righteous, wali like that, rahimahullah ta'ala. حَقِيقَةِ التَّوَكُّلِ. That's why some of them have said, who was it? I think Abu Sulaiman al-Darani. Allahu Akbar. Again, a name that when you hear, again, the names of Al-Junaid and Ibrahim al-Khawas and Tasturi and Ibrahim al-Adham and Hassan al-Basri, these are the caliber. And he said to his, guess when we say his student, one of his sahib, who was he? Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari was his student, whose wife was, now you shouldn't forget, what was her name? Rabi al-Shami, I remember. There were two awliya in one household. Subhanallah, he said, Ahmad ibn al-Hawari, my Shaykh told me, Ya Ahmad, between him and me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, alhamdulillah, of all of these ahwal and maqamat, he gave me some of it. He said, look what he said. He said, accept this tawakkul. I don't know how. And Abu Sulaiman al-Darani. He said, accept this tawakkul. Your Shaykh doesn't have any of it. المهم سبحان الله تحقيق العبودية لله عز وجل that تحقيق العبودية لله عز وجل and we're speaking about توحيد العبودية or توحيد الألوهية because as a consequence of the realization through ilm that there is a عبد and that there is a معبود and the walk of the عبد back to the معبود is through توحيد العبودية that I do, that I act, that I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all what he and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam command, the major and the minor. And I begin of course with the major things and I put gradually inshallah to the minor. I begin with the wajib and then the mustahab. And then I begin to avoid the haram, and then avoid the makruh. And then I get to the point where I shall avoid the mutashabih, or the mushtabih, or the shubuhat, that which in my knowledge, is doubtful. And then I begin gradually to get to the point where even the mubah, some lawful and some permissible, I shall avoid, when my heart would have matured and grown and would demand that naturally for higher stages. And here I want just to pause for a second. See, when you want to be a runner, a race, this is a race, isn't it? There is a racer and a racer, right? You have a professional one, and you have an amateur racer. Those who do races here and there, and you have levels, isn't it? Those who want to be professional and who want to run the long miles and compete with the best in the world, is there training like the training of the amateur? The time they spend and the focus and the isolation and etc. You can still run. Alhamdulillah, you can run, but you're not that runner. So the level that we seek, it's sense, it's a race. So do you want to be that professional runner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that amateur runner, or the one who watches the amateurs and does it in his courtyard? All of which are stages. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Rahim. But I think there are those who definitely want to, the murid, in a sense, the true murid is a professional racer. The true murid is a professional racer. Wants to race to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attains his nearness, attains the prize beyond which there is no prize. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do a say, to act, to live by the laws of cause and effect, to do in order to get, that's all part of the realization of Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And the realization of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah requires that cause and effect is not my Ma'bud, is not my Rabb. The imperatives of cause and effect are not that which my qalb is attached to. Cause and effect are also, yes, creations. They are created things, cause itself, effect itself, the relationship between the two are created. My external life goes by the sunnah of kasb, the sunnah of sa'i. But my qalb lives the fariza of, yes, tawakkul. But my qalb lives the fariza of tawakkul. And that's why if I fail, quote unquote, in my endeavors, my legitimate endeavors of legitimate matters of dunya or of required matters of akhirah, and I do not succeed, I do not crash, I do not fall in despair, I do not entertain suicidal tendencies or evil tendencies, because my attachment through rububiyyah and thus realizing ubudiyyah was not to the means, was not to the cause, was to the maker of the cause, to the ma'bud, not to the object, not to the subject, not to the means. Because generally we feel again, and I remind myself and you again with this, because it's very useful, my dear brothers and sisters. Because my attachments in my qalb to the legitimate things I have and that Allah bestowed upon me of intelligence, not only of physical wealth, of intelligence, of abilities, and of strength, physical and otherwise, and of means external, and of factories, and of this and of that. Because my attachment is to them, in reality, though I say, La ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah with my tongue, ila rizalik, and I pray and I fast and so on, when I don't have them, there is a terrible change inside of me. For some, to the extent of suicidal tendencies, and I was told in the last crash of the market, last market crash, not only many non-Muslims entertained suicidal tendencies, and some did commit suicide, but I was told about some Muslims. And I met some in afterwards to talk about that and to work on healing ourselves. Why? There lies the answer. The attachment was not to Allah, was to the wealth. Though the tongue speaks and ila rizalik, call it da'wah or call it whatever you want. The qalb was not attached to Allah. So when the only rope that I had attachment to was severed, I fell. And imagine, you know what it feels like when you're falling? Free fall? When you were young, probably you tried jumping from 10 meters high and so on. I did that when I was young too. I used to love to jump from very high cliffs and dive. And what it feels like, especially the first time. SubhanAllah, a free fall. And thus, when there is nothing to hold on to, when we fall, that's the feeling multiplied many, many more times of narrowness, of fear, of insecurity, of anxiety and of depression and so on. And consequently, sometimes to the extent of suicidal tendencies. My qalb is to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My qalb is to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do as-sa'a. As-sa'a, sa'i and kasb is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the fard in my qalb is to connect my qalb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that, bi-ithnillah, whatever would befall me, alhamdulillah. Whatever I lose, alhamdulillah. First, it's a realization through ilm. But then through amal and mujahada, until, alaykum as-salam, until we finally make the road. The mujahada, with this ilm, is, you know, take the rope, take the raw material, the ilm, and then with amal, you're braiding the rope. You're making it. You see? But if I have the ilm of how to make a rope, I'm not going to... Ilm itself alone, without amal, without tawheed al-ubudiyyah, will not send it up. I have to braid the rope. I have to make that rope to attach myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ta'ala Allah anil amthal. To attach my qalb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the amal, through the mujahada. And I don't intend to be too descriptive, but enough, inshallah ta'ala, for the point to be understood and appreciated. And then ilm also leads me to the realization of the imperfection of the ibad of the makhluq, of the creatures and of my nafs, and to the perfection of the Khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Ma'bud subhanahu wa ta'ala, yarhamukallah. That is tawheedu al-asma'i wa-sifat. That my attributes, my qualities, the qualities of every created thing in relationship to the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zero. Every perfection at the created level in the face of His perfection is imperfection. And I must know that. That's why when the qalb with ilm, the later ilm, the other ilm that we shall talk about it later, when the qalb, when the qalb's aperture towards the upper world is opened, then the first thing as a result of that is what? Remember what we learned yesterday? What was it? What was the first fruit of that? Memorize ilm, please. Memorize ilm. What is the first thing? Na'am? What did you say in Arabic? Yes. Ay na'am. See? Man sabara ala alam al-mujahadati. What did we say? Fataha Allahu alayhi abwaba ru'yati al-minnah. Abwaba ru'yati al-minnah. And that ru'yati al-minnah is a result of the discovery of our imperfection in sifat and in af'al, in attributes and in acts, in relationship to the attributes and the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore every khayr and every good is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that happens to me is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is imperfect in front of His perfection subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was this Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, I think, relates who was relating that he saw this young man in Hajj. Hanging onto the astar of the Kaaba. Close to the Kaaba. And saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Ilahi, La sharika laka fayu'ta, wa la wazira laka fayursha, in ata'atuka fa bi fadlik, falaka alhamd, wa in asaytuka fa bi jahli, falaka alhujjatu alayya wa la hujjata li, fa bi ithbati hujjatika alayya wa inqita'i hujjati, illa ghafarta li. فقيل سمع هاتف يقول الفتى عتق من النار. A young man hanging at the close of the Kaaba, the sitar of the Kaaba, saying, Ya Allah, you have no partner so that we can go to him. And you have no wazir, a secretary, no minister, so that we can bribe. If I obey you, it is by your grace. All praise is due to you. If I disobey you, it is by my jahl. You have all the evidence and proof against me, and I have none in front of you. I ask you, by the affirmation of evidence, your evidence and proof against me, and the nakedness of my evidence in front of you, please forgive my sins. And it is said that a hatif, a voice from nowhere called, the young boy, the young man, has been freed from the fire. Imperfection. Perfection. In ata'atuka, fabifadlik. In ata'atuka, fabifadlik. Wa in asaytuka, fabijahli. Falaka alhujjatu alayya, wa la hujjata li. فلك الحجة علي ولا حجة لي. فلك الحجة علي ولا حجة لي. Perfection and imperfection. And the realization of that leads indeed, yes, to رؤيةُ المنّة from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything مع رؤيةِ عيوبِ النفس. Continuous realization, continuous vision from the abd of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him or her, and the continuous realization of the faults and the imperfection of the nafs. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Let's take our break inshallah and resume afterwards.